Awesome, awesome, awesome. Awesome. Okay. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, And we're back. We're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. Hello, everybody. How are you on today? Your most amazing Halloween. You better be listening to this on Halloween. I swear to God. You better not be like, oh, it's busy on Halloween. I couldn't listen to Dangerous Answer. Fuck you. I swear to God, this better have been your Halloween plan. Or you're dead to me. Just kidding. What's up? It's a very wonderful, happy, and ridiculous Drunk and Dangerous for you. This amazing Halloween 2020. I really hope none of you get the plague. Because, like, honestly, the fact that I haven't gotten COVID so far, I've known many people who have. Some of you guys listening have gotten it, and that's like some fucking bullshit, to be honest. If you're supporting me, you're a good person. And just from my opinion, bad people should get COVID. So don't worry, you guys. I'm poking voodoo dolls as we speak to give other people COVID, to like take it from you, from my patrons, and give it to the bad people. So you're totally welcome doing that like sweet voodoo magic on your behalf. Whether or not you want it, you're welcome. Yes, you are. You fucking take it and you'll like it. And as you might expect, based on the title, if you've been here before, or maybe this is your first time, I'm sorry, this is your introduction. I am intoxicated, a little high, a little drunk, a little drinking boxed wine. Yes, it's come to that. 2020 means you need a little more wine than usual, you know? You got your, like, your salad years, and you got your wine years, and that's not a, it's not a good thing. It's wine in more ways than the other, at least if you're me. Slowly and surely becoming that wine aunt. Thank you, 2020. That was always what I wanted. I have cats and wine and true crime. I'm like literally, except for the age, I am like a spinster, basically. Oh, the most horrifying thing of all in this Halloween holiday. Okay, so with that in mind, I would like to start this wonderful celebration. Dangerous ASMR. So, like, the creepypastas I've only ever read on my channel have been sleepy pastas because those are fun. I like the idea of taking a scary story and trying to make it relaxing. Just because it's such a ridiculous, stupid idea, you guys. It's so dumb. I love it. Like, I think that's why, I don't know, I have such a good time making fun of myself because you can't take this shit seriously, right? Like, come on. I did an Among Us ASMR. I took it seriously, but come on, you guys. It's like when Disney made Battleship. Like, you know they're full of shit. They had to know as they're making Battleship, starring, like, Rihanna. They had to be, like, looking at each other being like, do you ever think they stopped and were like, hey, you know this is bullshit, right? And the other executive's like, shut up. We're making, like, a fuck ton of money. Like, I just bought a yacht this month. Shut the fuck up. Battleship is a great idea. If you know what's fucking good for you, you shut your fucking mouth. Take the paycheck. I will never be that wealthy, though. That in mind, let's continue on my original topic, which drunk me readily forgets. But it was creepypasta, sleepypasta, whatever. I decided I could read good, scary stories for this Halloween special. But what would be better than making fun of bad, scary stories on Halloween with all of you while I'm drunk? Because, you know, I feel like my Among Us audio was the one that was actually scary. I wanted it to kind of have like an Aliens vibe because I love the fuck out of that movie. Great fucking movie, by the way, if you haven't seen it. Sci-fi classic, mwah, or like The Thing. Such a good goddamn movie. Oh my God. Ah, it's kind of like both of those movies stuck together. It's amazing. It's super fun. I had a great time. And this is just my, hey, let's bullshit around. And if you actually like my Drunk and Dangerouses, then don't just think I'm hideously obnoxious and too crass to be believed. then you'll enjoy this take as well. You know, horror schmorer, let's make fun of people who tell bad, fake, scary stories. No insult, of course, meant to these authors. Please don't give them any hate. We are laughing them in all of good spirit. I love everybody who tries and shares their creativity with the world, even if I'm going to mock it. I know that sounds funny, but honestly, as much as I would hate somebody mocking me, if they do a good job, I'm going to be like, all right, fair. No hate to these people, though. Honestly, anybody who creates, my hat's off to them. I don't care if your creations are like a fucking stick figure on a piece of scratch paper. God bless. I love creative people. Creative people are what make life better, you know? Without creative people, none of the greatest inventions would be made. So even if you're like not great in the beginning, keep trying. Eventually you get good. Until then, we're going to make fun of you. So let's go. This is the worst rated creepypasta on the site. When I search by rating, I feel I need to take another drink, you guys. I kind of feel like if I wasn't going to hell before, which I don't believe that's a place, but if it exists and it's like, oh, bad people go here. If I wasn't going there before, I kind of feel like, am I securing a spot for myself? I'm about to make fun of people shitty. Like, is this better or worse than me making fun of my middle school classmates? I think I will, like, I'm going to not give the author's name to spare their grief. If you want to look, you can go to the Creepypasta website, which I'll link, but I don't want to say their name because I'm not going to be nice. I'm just putting it out there. And spitting, apparently. I'm not going to be nice. I'm spitting. I'm in a frothing rage. I'm just rabid, practically, with my desire to mock people for their attempts at creativity. Sharing kindness with the world. How could I? I could. I could do it right now, which I will. Give me 1 second. Gotta drink away my... I'm going to drink away my sense of morality and be like, shut up. These fuckers deserve it. Happy Halloween, everybody. I know right now, if you're wondering, what's Dangerous doing for Halloween? The answer is, currently, she's watching horror movies and eating way too many peanut butter-based Halloween candies. Because fucking fight me. Reese's, so goddamn good. Reese's selections, I want all of them. I'm a fucking slut for peanut butter. It's amazing. I'm like a dog. Peanut butter on your dick and I'm all for... No, I'm joking. Don't do it. No, don't do it. Especially the crunchy kind. That's not the worst creepypasta. We haven't even gotten there yet. All right. The worst creepypasta we're starting with is called The New York Subway Deaths. The rating is 1.02 out of 10 stars. Let's begin. One of my friends is a paramedic in New York. Don't ask me why, but it was always his dream to become one. I mean, I feel like that's kind of self-explanatory. What other reasons for being a paramedic do you really want to be except for to, like, save people's lives? Paramedics don't make big money. Probably doing it because you really care about people. What other reasons are there? Glory? Fame? You'd be famous paramedic? A singing paramedic? Anyway. Don't ask them why. They don't know. But it was always his dream to become one. And New York being the big and wild city that it is. He has, of course, seen some crazy things. He doesn't talk about his experiences as much since they are always very personal and often disturbing. But I know that he has encountered his fair share of gruesome stabbings and gunshots. Wow, it's scary already. For example, he told us how one time some kids were playing with a shotgun. And one of them got his jaw blown off. This isn't a scary story. This is just talking to some kid who talked to his brother who saw sad and disturbing things. This is not a scary story. I don't want to hear about some child accidentally blowing their face off. It's awful. The boy was still alive. This isn't funny. My laughter's at the awkwardness of the situation, not the child blowing their face off. How dare you? As my friend rushed him to the ER and eventually lived, but he is horribly disfigured now. That has to eat through a tube for the rest of his life. I am so evil for laughing at this. I'm not laughing at the circumstance. This is just the worst, scariest story ever. I just feel bad for this kid. There were other stranger things. I hope it's stranger. He told us once how he responded to a call where an elderly woman managed to decapitate herself. At home alone. Okay. An elderly woman managed to decapitate herself. My question, intentional, unintentional? I'm guessing unintentional, but either way, impressive. They found her body sitting in a chair in front of the TV, which was still on, and her head was laying on its side in the middle of the floor beside a puddle of blood. Her door was locked and all the windows were closed. All they know is that her neighbors heard a loud thud in her apartment and called the police, and she didn't answer her door, but no one has figured out exactly how it happened. Okay, so you expect me to believe they found some old woman sitting in her house with her decapitated, and they're like, oh, she must have done it to herself somehow. No, I'm sorry. My assumption is she was murdered. Am I wrong? I just don't assume the grandma who was decapitated somehow managed to set up some kind of invisible suicide device just to perplex people. Was grandma that big of a troll? Like, I don't think so. Because, okay, are you guys that kind of troll? Because I've been suicidal before. I'm assuming a lot of y'all have too. No offense to you guys. I'm sure a lot of you are incredibly mentally healthy. But me personally, along with a lot of people I've talked to, mental health issues are just a big fucking thing in society, right? Talked about or not talked about. I've been suicidal before personally. And I'm enough of a troll that there was always a thought that, like, if I kill myself, I could set it up to look like a murder. Just to fuck with people, you know? Like, if you're gonna go out, at least make it interesting. Anyway, I don't think that old lady did it. I never thought about decapitating myself. That's too hardcore for me. I don't imagine that old lady is some hardcore troll who's like, yep, decapitating myself. But if she is, more props to her. That's impressive. Let's continue with this story. Yet by far the strangest, creepiest story that he ever told us is the one about the mysterious subway deaths that happened several years ago. A few of my other friends and I were hanging out at his apartment one time, drinking and listening to music, when the topic of ghosts came up. We started by talking playfully about ghost experiences we had as children, just shadows in the corner of the eye, feelings of being watched, stuff like that. I like to think that they had a neighbor that was on a sex offender registry. And he's like sitting there, like peeping in the corner, like, I feel like I'm being watched. That's what it was. You should have told your parents. This is fucked up. But then my friend spoke up and said in a very serious voice that he wanted to tell us a story, and that he swore to God actually happened and freaked him out so much that it sometimes kept him awake and, when he rode the subway late at night, almost gave him panic attacks. We all became serious as he told us the following story, which I will now tell you. It's a 1.02 out of 10, you guys, so...
You know it's gonna be worth it, this buildup.
I hope it's like somebody on the subway decapitated themselves by accidente, like usually happens. Maybe, here's my guess, the old lady flossed too hard. And she heard somewhere she had to wrap the floss around her neck to get extra leverage when she was flossing. And she pulled so hard, she accidentally cut her head off. Don't you hate it when that happens, you guys? Grandma, not again. Autoerotic decapitation, is that a thing? It should be. Let's continue this amazing story. So, my friend said a couple of years ago that the ambulance crew started getting calls about once every week about people found dead on the subway. Yeah, that's called homeless people. They die a lot. That's not true. Don't listen to me. Although, to be fair, the police don't treat homeless deaths like they matter, which is this actual problem, but let's not get started on police force issues. The deaths always happened between a few particular stations. He said the names, but I can't recall them exactly. Oh, what a coincidence. The New York subway system is huge. Yeah, we know, you little liar. And always happened late at night when the cars were almost deserted. In fact, the victims were always found alone in the subway cars, sitting or lying on the benches. And there were never any witnesses. I could speak. Another detail is that all the victims were males and died of heart attacks. Sometimes even when they were unusually young. Okay, if they died of heart attacks, then they're not victims of murders. They died of heart attacks. Like, you're telling me there's somebody wandering around that manages to give young people heart attacks? Are they a mutant? Is this the X-Men? What the fuck are you talking about? Who has heart attack powers? Fuck you with his bullshit story. Okay, Professor X. Was this some Death Note bullshit? What the fuck ever? Fucking wrote it in your Death Note. Oh my god. Fucking look for light, you goomy. Like, what the fuck? Okay, after the calls have been coming in steady for a couple of months, the story started to get some minor attention. A couple of months? How many dead people are we talking about? It started to get minor attention after that, like, 20 dead people were found. I would hope that would be a bigger deal. That's a lot of dead fucking people. If I'm riding the subway, please tell me if a dead person is found multiple times. Although, heart attack, maybe they're just having a bad diet, you know? And with 2020, it could just be they read the news and, like, keeled over dead. The police checked footage from the cameras in the stations, but never saw anyone get on or off the trains regularly that made them think that a particular person was causing the heart attacks with drugs or a stun gun or by some other means. They fucked them too good. They gave them heart attack orgasms. Best murder weapon ever. Like, you can't even be mad when it happens. Like, damn, I came so hard I died. Like, I'm mad, but also fucking props. Shit. Like, I wish you would have waited till I was, like, 69, so the death would have been more meaningful. But still, like, I gotta high five you. That's cool as fuck. There was no explanation, because it was made up. It seemed that some unlucky guy would be riding a subway car, everyone else would happen to get off. They're riding the dangerous car. And then sometime when he was alone in the car between stations, he would simply have a massive heart attack and die. The newspaper even ran a small insert about the case in the back reaches of the police blotter. Perhaps you even saw it. No, we didn't. You made it up. Asking for information, yet nothing came of it. But eventually my friend was lucky, or unlucky, enough to get a clue about what might have been going on. It was the orgasms. He's gonna say it wasn't, but he's lying. He was on duty one night when his crew responded to a call about one of the heart attacks. But this time, the person managed to survive. They picked him up from the platform of one of the stations, where he was lying on the ground with a jacket from a Good Samaritan who called 911 under his head. Okay, the wording of this fucking sentence. A jacket from a Good Samaritan who called 911 under his head. I really wish he was lying on the Samaritan who was calling 911 under his head, but no. The person who placed the call was still there and said that when he entered the car, he saw the man sitting slumped over on one of the benches and gasping for breath, then called 911 when the man indicated that he needed help. I mean, aren't his actions indicate he needs help? If I'm slumped over, barely breathing, please call the police. Don't wait for me to indicate to call the police. Use your common sense, you know? Like, please don't wait for someone who's choking to death to tell you to give them the Heimlich. Just do it. Like, they can't tell. Never mind. My friend assisted in strapping the guy, who was about 40 or so, into a stretcher and was with him in the back of the ambulance as they went to the emergency room. The man was well enough to talk, and my friend listened to him while he did whatever medical things one does in such a situation. Why did you write that? What the fuck ever? Hoodly-doo-ba-doo-doo. Soon he realized that something abnormal was going on in the subway. Something that still disturbs him to this day. Halloween, by the way. Fucking cheers. I love Halloween. I hope you guys thought the Among Us one was creepy. I would love to do another longer creepy-ass horror audio. Like, I think it'd be so much fun. I'm really excited in, like, exploring that, but let's continue. I'm sorry for all the throat clearing. I just don't know what to say in these awkward pauses. The man said that he was on his way home from an exhausting shift at work late at night, as usual. Oh, come on. It's not that exhausting. You know that fucker spends half his time on Reddit. He's like, oh my God, it was so tiring. But he took 20 minutes to jack off in the bathroom. We're like, bitch, you did not. It was not. You just half-assed it. We've all had those days where you're like, oh, it was so hard, but really you gave like 60%. Yeah, 69%, 420% is what you should be giving, shame. The man said that he was on his way home from an exhausting shift at the fucking rock factory late as night as usual. So why would you suck his dick? There were just a few people in the car when he boarded, and he was very tired and started nodding off as he sat in the car. He said he remembered at one point in between naps that the car became deserted except for him. Then he suddenly awoke to find himself paralyzed. He could see in front of him what was going on, but couldn't move anything, not even blink. He tried to yell, to moan, to do something, but the only result of his inward efforts was silence. He said that he experienced sleep paralysis before, usually at home, but it was what happened next that almost killed him. I swear all of these are cliffhangers to, like, nothing. It's a cliffhanger and the next thing is the most mundane bullshit whatever. I almost died and then I ate a sandwich because I realized I was hungry, but if I hadn't eaten, I would have starved. Like, okay, great, I'm scared. Boo, you're gonna die eventually of old age. Like, that's scary. As he was sitting there paralyzed, the train rolling between stations, he saw a little girl walking towards him. I accuse you of rape, she said. And his life was over. She was neither happy nor sad, he said. Who describes someone like that? Are you human? What the fuck? Just an average little girl, like you would see walking down the street. But she was transparent. as if you were watching a reflection in a window. So it's like a reflection of a little girl walking down the street. She began to feel extremely anxious as she came nearer, but still couldn't move. I mean, she's transparent, so yes. She did not look at his eyes. She looked at that big bulge in his pants and was like, mm. But he said that she looked at him as if she knew him. She acted like it as well. She climbed up into his lap and curled herself into a ball as if to sleep, just the way you often see little girls do with their parents when they are tired. At that moment, he said, his heart attack started. The little girl was cold and motionless as she sat in his lap, and he said the cold from her crept over his whole body until it began to feel like someone was squeezing the middle of his chest. He started to lose his breath, but there was nothing he could do. The little girl was just sat there in his lap, filling him up with cold. Suddenly, the subway arrived at the next station, and a little girl, quote, dissolved, the man's words, like Pepto-Bismol, no, he didn't say that part, from his lap just before he heard the door open. That's when the Good Samaritan who made the call came up to him. He said, I love that it's a little girl who melts like a Tums, like... She lays on your lap like a cat and dissolves like a Tums. It's a little lap heart attack girl. I think that was the plot of Cuties. Am I wrong? My friend related that the man survived the incident and recovered fully. The calls about heart attacks continued to come in for another month or so, then mysteriously stopped just as quickly as they'd started, because we don't have a story to really explain any of this. No conventional explanation was ever found that could fully explain the incident. Neither can I, because the story isn't fully fleshed out. My friend offered a couple theories of his own as to what might have happened. First, he said that sleep paralysis is fairly common and often is accompanied by vivid dreams and hallucinations, which could explain what the man saw. Yet it does not explain the wave of heart attacks all occurring to males alone on the subway, all between roughly the same stations. You made it all up. That's what explains it. You made it up, and you don't even have a good reason. You're just going, oh, I wonder why it happened. That's only intriguing in real life. If you give me literally no explanation to an event and you fictionalize the entire thing, that's not clever. That's you being a bad writer without any information to even establish what's going on. None of this makes sense. A bunch of men are randomly dying because a little girl crawls on their lap like a cat and then dissolves and they have a heart attack. And that's all you're fucking giving me from the story? Yeah, this deserves less than a one. What the fuck? I'm pissed already. I hate this shit. Grr. Okay. Unfortunately, for the sake of finding the truth, the lucky man was, at least to my friend's knowledge, the only one to survive, and consequently there are no other stories to corroborate his. The other theory is that there really was a ghost of a little girl who caused the heart attacks on the subway. Like any big city, New York has a lot of domestic crime and many broken families. My friend speculated that she was a girl who was perhaps killed by one of her parents, or who maybe died, when she somehow wandered into the subway tunnels after running away from home and spent the time after her death searching for her father. Of course, no one knows for sure, especially not me, the person who just made up whatever the fuck. After my friend finished speaking, we all sat there silently, ashamed we wasted our time on this story, staring at the ground. Some upbeat song played in the background from the stereo, but the mood was dead by now and stayed that way until my friends and I went home. When we did, I don't think a single one of us took the subway that evening. Oh my God! Why? Because you're afraid you're going to wake up and a little girl's going to crawl in your lap like a cat? That's not scary. Fuck you. That was a terrible story. It was also sad. Like, what the fuck, man? Why was it so sad? Okay. I'm going to take a break for 2 seconds because, man, that was really shitty as fuck. Oh my God. I expected it to be bad, but that was really fucking bad. At first, it was just like somebody retelling like actually sad ER stories like from actual paramedics. And the next thing was just a bullshit story that had no ending. So I don't even understand if all of it was made up. Or if the beginning was true and the last part was fictionalized. I don't even understand that story. Okay. Hopefully the wine helps me read this next story. It's 1.75 out of 10. It's called Horrors of the Commonwealth. The ground was dry and covered in fallen pine needles, rotting away back into the earth from which they came. The smell of moss and pine was thick, engulfing Cliff's nostrils. Okay, I'm sorry. Cliff needs to be in, like, a soap opera. Engulfing Cliff's nostrils. Okay. I bet he's got lush chest hair. Like, you can already tell. He is, like, a romance novel hero. You can tell. The ground was dry and covered in fallen pine needles, rotting away back into the earth from which they came. The smell of moss and pine was thick, engulfing Cliff's nostrils. I'm imagining him in like a white pirate shirt that's like a big deep V in the front, and his poofy chest hair is out there, like a sandy blonde, right? And he's got like long sandy blonde hair that's like flowing in the wind, right? That's him. That's Cliff. It was not a discomforting scent, rather sweet, but there was something more. And it was discomforting. What the fuck? It was not a discomforting scent, but there was something more and it was discomforting? So it wasn't discomforting until that moment? Or like, it wasn't, but like also JK it was. And it was, all right, it was not a discomforting scent, rather sweet, but there was something more, and it was discomforting. JK, I was joking before. Unwelcoming and growing tumor. Now that it was no longer hidden in the aroma of the woods, it now carried as an aroma of its own, growing stronger like the sensation of a discovered wound. This feels like a creative writing exercise from middle school. He felt unnerved and decided he would be better off heading his way back to camp. Comma. Find another spot to pee. If Cliff turned right to leave, life may have been a little easier. There would be less nightmares, less things rattling the cage in his head every waking hour of every waking day, like Donkey Kong in that infernal video game. He didn't say that, but he should have. But he did not turn right. Almost immediately after he turned left, he found her, the girl the group was chasing yesterday.
Chasing her around like a chicken that escaped the coop, he thought.
Why are you telling us this? Why, a bock-a-doodle do to you too, sir. A bock-a-doo. She was still covered in mud, now dried into clinging lumps of dirt. She was laying on her back, one arm stretched out in a yawn. What? The arm stretched in a yawn, did it? Did it now. Her arm at those arm mouths with arm teeth. And the other placed clumsily at her side. By whom, I ask? By herself or by you? She was naked, down to the skin, no clothes in sight. With an S-I-T-E. And this made Cliff feel very nervous. His first reaction was to look away, as his foster father had taught him before. This is like a long, long sentence. To never peek at a naked girl, especially one so young. Of course, he was only 12 years old. Wait, if he's 12 and he's thinking not a girl that was so young, how young is she if he's 12 and thinking this? She's like two. Kid, like, seek help.
He was only 12, and his curiosity had got the better of him. She was like a chicken in a coop. So he turned his head back to her. This was his second mistake. She was not sleeping. Clear realization he had almost instantly, and wished to God he hadn't. Wished he had left, assuming she was in a deep slumber. In a way, she was. She was dead. This makes no sense. I feel like I'm on drugs. Cliff found his heart stop in his chest. Found it difficult to stand. Well, you're dead. Your heart has stopped. I assume that's not literal. The urge to cry fell over him like a trap net, trying to pull him down to the ground and keep him there for the hunter to find. The feeling meant to own him entirely, but he could not let it. He had to stay strong. This is so... it's so... flowery. You know what I mean? None of it is like... none of it's authentic. It all feels like you're trying to prove a point, you know? Not tell a story, but prove something about yourself. Like how smart you are by how many big words you can use and how much you can emote and how many fucking adjectives you can use. Just tell a story, you know? The feeling meant to own him entirely, but he could not let it. He had to stay strong. If Ford ever saw him cry, he would... who the fuck is Ford? If Ford ever saw him cry, he would surely give him something real to cry about. Was this not real? He looked. This time really looked at what he was seeing, and his stomach tightened like a drum. His knees went numb, but he still managed to stand. Through the clumpy mess of mud, he could see her face, twisted in a tangle of knots and bruises, deforming her. Eyes swollen. What is even happening? Does anyone understand what's happening? I'm so lost. None of this makes sense. He remembered how she'd looked before. Beautiful, as much as a mud-writhed 14-year-old could be. So he was 12 and she's 14, then why would he think she was so young? What the fuck? Now she lay like a crude clay sculpture that had been mutilated by a drunk. What? A clay sculpture that was mutilated by a drunk? Why are you letting your drunks among the clay sculptures? What? A clay sculpture mutilated by a drunk? Come on! Are you 15? Is this your creepypasta? 15-year-old me? A crude clay sculpture mutilated by a drunk? Okay. By a drunk, petty competitor. There was a dark blue ring around her neck, swollen twice its normal size. And his eyes ventured down. This was it, his biggest mistake. Blood. He saw blood. Blood? What had set everything into motion over his last remaining days as a child, the child he had denied himself to be, that Ford had denied him. I imagine it's a truck company. He was like, God damn it, I built Ford tough. But I want to be Ford tender. That set the images that would not stop. Nightmares that would not end. Blood! That's how I feel in my period. Like, fucking end, bitch, end. It covered her private places completely. Okay, not this part that's coming up because that's gross. Dried to a thin brown crust. Why are you doing this? Matting down the little pubic hair she had grown in her compromised adolescence. Why is this a thing? Why? It's horrible. Clean your vagina. Cliff clapped his hands painfully over his face, and at last the tears came. Treacherous and screaming with freedom, he could feel the hot, wet drops running through the spaces between his fingers. Oh, God. Cliff choked under his breath, and hideous grief and shame washed over him like an acid bath.
Oh, my God.
He choked again, not moving his hands, tears flowing faster and hotter through his hands. She was a virgin, he thought numbly. She was 14 years old, and a virgin she had been. That's it. That's the end. That's horrible. So he fucked a 14-year-old? Is that it? That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. That is the dumbest thing. That's awful. Okay. Let's read the next one. Because I want to wash that fucking bullshit out of my mind. Very quickly. Happy Halloween, by the way. I don't want to think about that kid's matted, blood-dried pubic hair ever again. Fucking thank you. Nothing more horrifying than that had I anticipated tonight. In all seriousness, though, I hope everybody is staying safe. Like, the times that we're in are kind of scary as fuck, and I actually legitimately do care about and worry about you guys, so I hope you're all staying safe. Okay. But not safe with tonight's terrifying tale of the town of Blanche. It has 2.63 stars out of 10. Estimated reading time, 2 minutes. I can draw that out. If you visit France's Côte d'Azur in your lifetime, do everything you can to avoid a small town called Blanche. Kind of starting like a Yelp review. It was too expensive and there wasn't enough. I was in a country once with my parents. I was in the country once with my parents. Around 8 years ago, I was 12 at that time. We were on a family vacation. And we found ourselves looking for a place to get some rest and enjoy some of the local color. We were getting really hungry on the road, so it was with some luck that a town, unmarked on our map, rose unexpectedly on the horizon. This was the town of Blanche. Immediately after we entered Blanche, we noticed that the colors of the houses were darker than anything I had seen in my entire life. Than you'd seen in your entire life. Were they a void in reality? It's not like they were black or gray. They were normal colors for walls. They just look not right. It's hard to explain. Almost like it was a color that we don't have a word for. Because it's so dark and strange. Wow, what verbiage. I can picture it so perfectly. A few minutes after driving around the town, we all began to notice the fishy stench. I opened my legs. No, I'm joking. Oh my God, that's horrifying. Like a Friday market. Except the fact that no fish were being sold. The people in the town also had a really weird skin tone, almost frostbitten and tinged a deep blue. If I recall correctly, my father said something like, "These guys sure look like the sea." Your dad sounds like an asshole. We had originally planned to stay in the town for a while, but my mother and my sister were so disturbed by the creepy atmosphere and the town's denizens that they insisted that we keep driving and find a different town to stay the night. I don't know about you guys, maybe it's only happened back in the past, but I've never gone to, like, visit a friend and been like, wow, everyone where they live is blue. Like, that's not a thing. I'm sorry. Everywhere I've gone, most people are kind of like people everywhere else, you know? Like, there are nice people. Mostly there are pretty decent people. Some are nice, and then a lot of them are just shitty, you know? Like, mostly decent, some good, and some just super shitty. But I think that's the same way everywhere. I don't think that's dependent on where you go, you know? Like, some have more nice people, some have less nice, but generally people are just people, you know? Like, I don't understand why it's so hard for people to just treat someone based on their actions, not based on some preconceived notion. Like, it's not that hard. If you're nice to me, I'm going to be nice to you. And if you're asshole to me, then I'm going to be nice to you, but behind your back. Okay.
Those guys look like the sea.
They were disturbed by the fact that those people were blue, so they stayed somewhere else. When we arrived in the next town, it was like we all gave a gigantic sigh of relief at once. We felt that we were back in normal civilization. However, the people who ran the inn that we stayed in at the second town did tell us some freaky stories about Blanche. Stories that made us really glad that we didn't stay there. But that's all it says. They told you freaky stories and made you glad you didn't stay there and there's nothing there? They told you the scary part and you don't tell us? Fuck you with your terrible story. What the fuck? Oh my god. Y'all aren't even trying at that point. Okay, that was pretty bad. I think I prefer period blood to that one. And that one was still awful. There, yet again, he found himself in front... Oh, this is called... I'm sorry, I just... A Haunting Entropy. I'm totally just lost. It's the last I'm going to read. It's kind of long. It's 2.42 out of 10. A Haunting Entropy. It's really long, so let's strap in, shall we? There yet again, he found himself in front of his computer. Late at night, the wife asleep. His mind wandered to that wonderful conversation he had last with Heather, his favorite personality in an online MMORPG that he frequently plays. He wished to talk with her once again, so he sent her a message asking to join a Skype call. Roughly 15 minutes passed, and she finally accepted the call request. He eagerly closed out his current browser window, and the call soon ensued. Is it like Simp King? Master? Going back and forth, they discussed various things, the weather, as well as bitching about the time difference between them and what each had done throughout the day. About an hour or so into the conversation, he groaned when he noticed the time, 3 a.m.
Shit, this isn't good.
But also, like, it's an hour and you started at 2 a.m. What time did you fucking think it would be in an hour, dipshit? Oh my god, I started to call at 2 a.m. and now it's 3 a.m.? Like, you didn't start at 9. What the fuck are you freaking out about, idiot? It was already 2 a.m. He ignored the impulsive and silly fear of the witching hour and continued his conversation with his Australian friend. I don't care where their friend is from. Throughout the duration of the call, he heard what sounded like whispering coming from behind him. Go to bed, you fucking idiot. Get a job. Get a job. Dumbfounded, he abruptly got up from his chair to investigate. A disembodied voice, quietly, almost whispering at the lowest audible level, uttered two words. Leave her! Bob ripped his headset from his ears and furrowed his brow, anticipating anything at this point. A few more hours passed and Heather eventually forced him to go to sleep. Seeing as the 8-hour time difference had quite obviously taken its toll on him, disgruntled and disappointed, Bob obliged with her, said a quick goodbye, and ended the call at roughly 4 a.m. He carefully powered down his computer and quietly made his way from the living room to plop down on the couch. No point in trying to sleep, he thought. I have to leave for work in an hour anyways. He decided to pull out his cell phone and pass the time listening to some music. A voice from the back of his mind jolted him to attention. He quietly laughed to himself when he realized it wasn't a voice in his head, but the singer of one of his favorite bands blaring lyrics in his ears. How do you not know that the person you're listening to on your fucking music isn't a voice in your head, okay? If you think and you can't distinguish the music you're listening to from a voice in your fucking head, please see your doctor. That's not normal. That's not normal. It's not like, oh, I'm so relieved. That was just fucking John Bon Jovi instead of my own brain sounding like him. What the fuck? That's not a normal question, bitch. You don't normally go, is that Lady Gaga in my microphone or telling me to burn things? Like... That's not normal. You shouldn't have these questions. You should know who's talking in your head. It should just be you. He locked his phone, slowly stood up, and made his way to the bathroom to start his morning shower. Walking back to his bedroom to get his work clothes while the shower warmed up, he froze with terror when he got to the doorway. Standing there in front of him was Heather's purple-haired fox avatar. But noticing that it was disturbingly different, he froze in his tracks, paralyzed with fear. Instead of purple hair, oh my god, this is like a furry... Instead of purple hair, flames emitted from where its hair had once been. Its eye sockets empty of eyes, a place with crimson-red orbs, its skin deteriorated to the point of decay.
Leave her!
It bellowed loudly at him. He tried to utter a reply, but he was too terrified to utter a sound.
Leave her this instant!
It screamed once again. Bob was speechless. He didn't know what to do. As if coming out of a trance, he blinked his eyes and did a double take and realized he was hallucinating. As it was his loving wife who was standing in front of him, not the hellishly terrifying entity of Heather as he had thought.
"Good morning, babe,"
she said, while walking up to him to give him a kiss on the cheek. Both relieved and confused, he went to take his shower, and as he stepped under the hot water streaming from the showerhead, he felt a surprisingly burning, tingling sensation on his genitals. It's his right shoulder, but it should be genitals. He screamed quickly in reply to the revelation. What the revelation? Of shoulder pain? As he lost his balance, slipped and fell, whilst scrambling to get back up. It does say that, I'm not pretending. His wife knocked on the bathroom door in a panic. Bob's ears began to ring loudly, as if he had just been punched in the face. What a little bitch. It took him at least 30 seconds to regain his composure, but he eventually did just that, briskly hopping out of the shower to dry off and get dressed. I like to picture him just going, like shaking his body really fast. He exited the bathroom only to be greeted by a concerned look on the face of his companion.
"Hun, are you sure you're okay?"
Bob replied with a false answer of,
"Yeah, just the lack of sleep getting to me. I am fine."
While eating the breakfast his wife had made him, his other half stopped what she was doing. She turned to face her husband, who was screaming. And he grabbed the plate in front of him. Smashing. You know, you ask someone for breakfast. And they're like, "We're out of waffles." And you just start screaming and smash a plate on your face. Well, this guy totally gets it. You smash it on the floor. He stood up. Okay. Mental health is a real issue. But this is kind of funny when it says. He stood up and backed himself into a corner while weeping. Brandy rushed to her husband. I bet you 2-1 she's a stripper. It's Brandy with an I. That bitch is a stripper, you know.
Babe, are you okay? What the hell is going on?
Mad, but understandably so. Brandy said so with a hushed tone in her voice. Oh,
what's going on?
I don't know what's wrong with me, hon.
They both slowly stood up and Brandy wrapped her arms around him. Concerned for his well-being, she asked,
"Do you need to stay home today?"
Bob paused and then replied, "Nah, just the lack of sleep getting to me." Baffled, she said, "Were you talking to that person on the online MMORPG again?" Knowing she would be angry, he lied again and said,
"No, sweetums. I was sorting out some papers for work."
She sighed and said,
"Well, you better get going then. You don't want to be late for work."
Bob at a brisk pace and walking out of the door. Oh my, this is so stupid. Honestly, this is like my favorite, most stupid-ass story ever. I love you, the person who made this. I hope you're like 12, because if you're an adult, I feel bad. But honestly, this is the best thing ever, and thank you for this gift. Okay, let's continue.
No, swear doms. Bob had a brisk pace in walking out the door as he was not feeling himself and needed some music to tune out the unusual things he was experiencing. That's called constipation. The likes of Linkin Park, 3 Days Grace, and Metallica blaring through his truck speakers, he smiled. A few minutes later, he arrived at work. Should I tell her?
Should I come clean and confess?
He thought as his thoughts turned to work.
No!
Not yet.
He stepped out of his truck, locked it, and walked into the place he knew as his job. As your English teacher, I have to say, he walked into the place he knew as his job.
Oh my god.
My dude, sometimes you could just say walked into work, give say the place he knew as his job. Just say it's where he works. You don't have to... 14-year-old me, I have so many things to talk about with you. The place he knew was his job. A employee of a decades-old auto repair shop in the middle of town. Period. That's a sentence. A employee. That's how it starts. Yep, that's the thing. Before he started walking, he pulled out a pack of Marlboro 83s and proceeded to light the cigarette that was wistfully hanging from between his lips.
Morning, dickhead,
one of his co-workers stated as Bob walked into the front office after finishing his smoke. Before he walked into the office, why is everything before? Like, before he walked... And then before he walked again, just tell me what happened all at once before he walked in the office. Not before he walked in. And then he walks and then be like, but also before that. Like, just tell me all at once what he's doing before he gets to the office. Don't keep taking me back. Just tell me once. Before he walked into the office again. He flipped the bird to a coworker who had so eloquently greeted him.
Here you go. Got 3 tickets and need printing and another waiting to be written up outside.
Why are you mad at him? He's just telling you work that needs to be done. What? He's not saying it's eloquent. He's telling you your job. That's fitting for a job. Have you never gone to a job where instead of your boss telling you hello and good morning like a kind bitch, just says, hey, here's what you have to do. And inside you're like, wow, would it have killed you to say good morning if you don't say shit because you're a fucking worker bee and you make fucking $15 an hour and goddamn it, you don't want to starve before next paycheck? Yeah. Yeah, I bet you haven't, you 14-year-old writing this bullshit. Okay, let's continue.
Here you go, about 3 tickets and printing up another waiting to be real outside.
Bob nodded in reply to his boss.
Oh, and tell Fat Body out there to shut up.
There are customers here.
Bob grinned and said, I'll pass it along. As he walked out of the office, their voices don't matter, let's be honest. It's Halloween, nothing matters. Before assuming his role as cashier / general customer magnet, he approached Reynolds, the idiot that had greeted him that morning.
Boss man said, shut that shit up. There's customers around.
Reynolds bumped his head on the hood of the car he was working on and nearly fell over, trying to regain his balance.
Yeah, sure, whatever, man.
Bob inched closer to Reynolds' work area. Are you smoking reefer back here? Bob asked, surprised at the smell he had detected. He had a stroke. There's no reefer. He's losing his brain cells as we speak.
Nope. Customer brought it in here like this. I take pills. I don't smoke jack squat.
Bob furrowed his brow in response.
Sure. Whatever is right, I don't want to stand around and smell that shit. I hate this story. I don't know what's going on. There's a bunch of weasels talking about shit and smoking. Reynolds did not reply, as he had already gone back to what he was doing, jacking in the back. Going through the daily motions of his job, he noticed the clock. It read 1:15 p.m. I don't give a fuck! Why are you telling me all of this? None of this matters. Going through the daily motions of his job, he noticed the clock. It read 1:15 p.m.
Great!
Only a few hours left yet.
Can't wait to get home and relax with Brandy, he thought.
He's hoping for a blowjob. He's not getting it. The workday coming to a close. He assisted the other members of the shop in closing the place down. He'd tell his boss, but you know he didn't. Got in his truck and started to drive home. He anticipated pulling up to his house and being greeted by his wife, but this would not be the case. He finally arrived home, powered down his truck while in park, and stepped out.
What the hell? It looks like a hurricane went through here,
he said as he walked into the living room. His wife entered the room and in an angered state walked into the back of the house. That's all one sentence. Enjoy it.
Babe! What's going on here?
Bob said as he tried to figure out what had happened here just moments before he had arrived. Brandy ignored him and walked into his office/work area and started to unplug his computer. It feels like this is a fight he had with his wife, and he's like, I'm going to put it on creepypasta to show you how crazy you are. And he's just like recounting it like, she unplugged his computer, that psycho bitch.
What? He was just looking at hentai. That's not cheating.
Like, I swear. Stunned, he exclaimed,
what the fuck are you doing? I care about the porn more than your life.
Before anything else could be said, she hurled his computer's display at him. Not being able to react, the monitor struck Bob's head and neck with a loud thump. Maybe it decapitated him like that old lady. Before crashing to the floor, despite Bob's desperate attempt to catch the device.
You piece of shit! I know you were dead while lying to me!
Brandy said in a harsh and resonating tone. Where's the horror in this? Is it the horror of humanity and the shit that we have to go through with each other? Kill them both, can we, please? Said in a harsh and resonating tone, she continued as Bob attempted to get up while in a fuzzy state.
This Heather! This bimbo you've been talking to, you, are you even sure it's a woman? It could be a guy for all you know.
Bob cringed. Oh, yeah, wait, that's a girl.
This Heather! This bimbo you've been talking to! Are you even sure it's a woman? It could be a guy for all you know!
Bob cringed, realizing that it could be very well true.
Shut up, damn it! Do you realize what kind of stress I have at work?
Such a soap opera. Is this a telenovela, not a creepypasta? Brandy took a step back and attempted to be as calm as possible when replying.
Well, if you're so stressed out about it...
This is her voice now. Deal with it.
Why don't you just tell me? I'm your other half, babe. I'm always here for you.
Bob slowly walked towards Brandy, but in the process of stepping towards her, something kept him from progressing towards her. This sentence. Let's listen to this quality sentence. Bob slowly walked towards Brandy, but while in the process of stepping towards her, something kept him from progressing towards her any further.
What's wrong?
She said. Or it's what he presumed to be Brandy speaking, although in truth it was not her. Or anything physically close to him, for that matter.
You don't need to lie to her anymore, my dear.
Startled, Bob froze in place. He turned his head to the left in an attempt to find the source of the voice, and then to the right. Nothing, not even a shred of physical presence other than Brandy and himself, occupying the kitchen.
You don't have to scream into a pillow anymore. You don't have to bite your tongue around her.
Just had a beat of the death, pawn off everything, including his soul for forfeits.
Just after this comment was made, Bob shook his head and popped his neck to relieve a minor headache that had started getting worse when he got home. Thanks for not having the energy to say or do anything. He got some things together and started walking back towards his truck. The whole time this is going on, Brandy slumps down into a corner to cry about the sudden outburst.
Where are you going?
Oh, wait.
Where are you going, hon?
Bob resisted the urge to snap his wife's neck.
Maybe you shouldn't be married, my dude.
And then stopped.
I'm going to spend the night elsewhere. I can't be here right now.
He turned, looked, and pointed at the rusty green ammo can his father gave him years ago.
There's about a gram of decent kush in there. Smoke some and then call me in the morning. I love you, babe.
Brandy, that's love. Brandy looked at Bob with tears in her eyes and said nothing.
Oh, the kush, baby, yeah.
She looked at her current occupant of the can her husband mentioned and got up. Walked over to the can, grabbed the marijuana out of it, and looked toward the back porch. When she looked back in the direction of where Bob had been standing, she gasped.
There was no one there. Bob was already outside. He walks really fast.
The door closed quietly behind him as he made his way to his truck. While walking towards the truck, Bob was suddenly halted by a sudden blast of ice cold air. Confused as to why there was arctic cold air coming from nowhere during a hot summer evening deep within the southern United States, he turned around and his expression immediately turned to one of pure horror.
No!
Bob froze, as if he was encased in ice.
You are not real! You can't be!
He haphazardly shouted at the ghastly entity that manifested itself before him.
Oh, but I am, Bob. I am more attuned to reality than you think.
The thing was completely see-through, an ethereal abomination that should not be able to make itself known on the plane of existence. It spoke once again, while hovering in place just in front of Bob's position.
Now that you and that ungrateful wench are no more, you and I are now capable of living in uninterrupted bliss.
Lacking his sanity, Bob dropped to his knees. He finally uttered something.
But how? How am I seeing you here? And now?
The devilish and eerie nature of this scene made Bob uncomfortable. One hand propping him up, while the other hand desperately searched for the handle to his driver's side door to his truck. Nothing but silence for about a minute, until the beastly apparition decided to explain itself. Angry, Bob shouted at the top of his lungs, straining his windpipe in doing so.
Damn it right now! Damn it!
The entity did not
appreciate this. It hovered to within a few inches of Bob, and the deranged man starts to levitate above the ground with the unworldly creature of the metaphysical.
Struggling to breathe, Bob was instantaneously silenced.
You quell your tongue within my presence.
After this, almost within a matter of seconds, the ordeal was over. The belittled wife came outside and got Bob's attention.
What the hell are you doing out here? Why have you not left yet? Who were you screaming bloody murder at, Alia?
Instead of trying to explain the situation, he got into his truck and drove away like a pussy. Bob decided the next step would be to check in at the closest hotel and sleep on the matter at hand.
Maybe I can get a better grasp on things tomorrow when I'm not so exhausted,
he said out loud to no one in particular.
After paying at the front desk, he'd said it to us, he just didn't know, and receiving a key to a room, Bob made his way to his room and threw his old army duffel, a bag, in a corner. He flopped under the bed for what he hoped would be a restful night's sleep. He didn't even brush his teeth. It's disgusting. His cell phone rang. He immediately silenced it and plugged it into his charger. It was Trey, his token pothead of a friend. Fuck you! Trey has a personality. He was from fucking High School Musical, wasn't he? Or was that Troy? I don't remember. It was Troy. Fuck it. I like it to be Trey. This Trey is from High School Musical. Confirmed. Troy is now Trey. Live with it. Okay. His token pothead of a friend. He used to be a wildcat in High School Musical. Bob didn't really have the energy or patience to deal with his stoned antics and slurred speech. What is he talking about? He decided it would be best to just call him in the morning. He quickly climbed into bed and threw his head back onto the stiff hotel pillow. That's what he gets for staying at like a 7-Eleven. What is it, a Motel 6? 7-Eleven's convenience store. It's Motel 6, what are all the numbers they have? I get so confused. 7-Eleven. You could probably, you'd be better asleep than this. Stiff hotel pillow. That's a dumpster, sir. You're high on meth. Promptly he fell asleep. I was sound asleep until about 2:37 a.m. About 2:37? Not just about 2:30, about 2:37? Be more specific, bitch. What would it be like if it's about to be 2:37? .34 seconds? What the fuck? About? Shit, what the fuck? Time to get up, you vagrant. Bob immediately opened his eyes while within a dreamlike trance. Bob slowly adjusted to his surroundings. It was still very much dark, and there was no one in the room. He was in the hotel room, but some things did not appear to be right. Everything around him had a purple hue around it, as if someone had detonated a radioactive cluster bomb of purple. I'm telling you, it's a 14-year-old who wrote this.
Where am I?
He thought out loud.
What is this?
He looked down at his feet and noticed a solid object. He reached out for it and held it in his right hand. It was a trinket, a keepsake his wife had given him shortly after they were married. It was a heart-shaped pendant that had a picture inside. Why didn't you just fucking tell us that at the beginning? The picture was of Brandy and himself kissing under the sweet moonlight on their wedding night. Honestly, puke. Like, I can be romantic, but that sounds awful. No, thank you. At least have him fucking in there. He proceeded to open the trinket, and then an all too familiar voice said something that made his blood run cold.
What do you think you're doing, sweetie? Nothing but shock awaits you if you open that.
Ignoring the voice, he opened the trinket anyways and was horrified at the revelation. As he opened it, it was the picture he imagined, but instead of Brandy being the one he was kissing, it was the faceless form in the shape of a female he didn't recognize. Suddenly, the trinket erupted into flames. Exploding out of Bob's grasp, he reeled in terror as the disembodied voice overtook his senses. He was breathing heavily and drenched in sweat. He kept explaining to himself that it was just a dream. It was just fatigue from work. Seconds later, and almost in sync with his breathing, Heather's true form embraced him, suffocating him. And as he was struggling to get up, to get free, his body suddenly went limp.
No!
He heard from a familiar voice within the realm of subconscious state between wake and sleep as if muffled.
No, 90, wee!
He laughed. As it was just a cell phone alerting him that it had a new text message. It's 90, wee, salmon, not wee, he grinned. I haven't played on a wee since I was a kid, he said to himself. I hate this so much. He picked up his phone and noticed that the text was from Trey. He called him back, and a delayed reaction from Trey caught Bob off guard.
Oh, could you bring me some food? I'm way too baked to drive,
Bob replied.
Sure, dumbass, I'll surprise you. Driving the shadier part of his city, Bob just focused on getting to Trey's house. What's the story about? Please tell me if you understand below. After he stopped and got some food, Bob silently turned onto the street Trey's house was on.
Aren't you going to share that?
An eerie and gravelly voice said. Surprised, Bob looked around, and after his eyes found the back seat, his jaws dropped when he spotted Heather's extremely suggestive appearance in the back seat. He spotted her appearance? What does that mean? A loud and sharp tone of another car's horn resonated as Bob snapped his eyes back to the road just in time to avoid getting into a wreck.
A cop was waiting.
He turned on his lights and sirens and beckoned Bob to pull over. Just as he was starting to slow down to pull over for the cop, Bob looked towards him. Just as he opened his mouth to issue another warning to pull over, Bob noticed the outline of Heather's not-so-suggestive form. What does that even mean? Hovering alongside the police car. Not so suggestive? Is it straight up and down? What does that even mean? Behind the officer. Not so suggestive? What? In what seemed like an instant, her form. You mean she? Grabbed the police officer and threw him out the window. The fate of the cop, no unknown and unimportant to Bob. He watched as Heather floated towards him with an ever-growing face. I feel like I'm her now with that voice. He kept his foot on the gas pedal as the feeling of dread intensified. He now had a 3-mile gauntlet of narrow, curvy, and hilly road to navigate. He knew he was in mortal danger, so he took off down Trey's street, the radio playing nothing but loud static.
What do you want?
Do you hear me? What the fuck do you want?
Heather stopped. She had an expression of pure annoyance and watched as Bob's truck flew past her down the road. She grinned and laughed an evil laugh that would have rivaled the volume of an earthquake. X to doubt. X to fucking doubt. She laughed a laugh that rivaled the volume of an earthquake. X to fucking doubt. Soon after finishing her laughing, the demonic visage of Heather turned around and laid her uncanny eyes upon a scene of pure tragedy. I swear, 14-year-old racist. She smiled and slowly approached the scene. One of mangled cars, body parts, gore, and burning tires. Those are the worst part.
You bitch! You godly spot of hell!
Bob uttered as loud as he possibly could. Was it as loud as an earthquake? Probably not. One of his lungs punctured! Blood covering his face. I like to think that his lung wasn't punctured before, but he was so loud it punctured his lung somehow. Like, damn, you win. That's impressive, Bob.
The fact that you survived this incident means nothing. Your life is still forfeit, Heather said.
Bob stopped struggling and reached for something in his pocket. A picture of himself and Brandy. It promptly burst into flames.
No! No, no, no!
He screamed. Now that his sanity had completely left him, he felt no need to hold anything back. I hope he shit himself.
It's so nice this time of year in hell,
Heather's wicked form exclaimed. Her dad loved this so much, you guys. I love this as much as me. Her devilish crimson eyes piercing into Bob's withered soul. Bob, who was barely clinging to life, says nothing. He falls towards the earth and rolls over on his back. He feels a numbing sensation overtake his body. That's the feeling of being gay. It's soothing your muscles. And he begins to levitate about the dirt.
Any last words, my dear?
Bob struggles and utters just one line.
Fuck you, that is all.
I gotta tell you, not the best line. Fuck you, that is all. Not as epic as you think, buddy. Heather chuckles and then begins to speak.
Even in the face of death, you hold nothing back. Foolish but brave.
With a loud snap, the demonic and unnatural creature breaks Bob's spine. His body falls to the street. Blood started to occupy the ground near Bob's lifeless body, but Heather was not satisfied with this minor display of violence. She took his corpse and ripped it into two separate pieces.
I have succeeded. I have consumed his soul into my everlasting vortex of damnation.
Heather took the two separate chunks of Bob's corpse and tossed one to the right and one to the left, and held it in her teeth and then disappeared in what seemed like an instant.
Having both heard the loud noise of what they thought to be a car accident, Trey and Brandy both dropped what they were doing and started walking toward the scene from, like, what, separate points in the city? They didn't drive, they just started walking? Okay, whatever. The evening sky now painting a much more dimmed backdrop.
Trey, stop!
Brandy uttered in a shocked tone.
Like what, man?
Trey uttered, a joint between his fingers. Trey came to a stop and his eyes found what Brandy was talking about. His best friend was in pieces in front of him, his head nowhere in sight. Blood and remains were everywhere. Brandy kneeled down next to what appeared to be Bob's legs and reached in the back pocket of his pants. Her hand found his wallet. It really is him, Trey. What the hell? Why? Brandy started to sob uncontrollably. Trey felt numb and confused. The tragic sight they were left with will now haunt them forever. The end. 10 out of 10. Oh my god. Alright. I had the best time ever, you guys. This was a blast. Happy Halloween. I love y'all if you're here, if you stuck through it with me. Thank you so much. I had the best time. Happy Halloween. Again, I hope you guys have a blast. I'm going to be sitting there getting diabetic with too much candy. And I hope you are too. Not the diabetic part. Please take care of yourself. And I will talk to you again next week. All right. Bye, guys. I love you. Mwah. Bye.